conversation.
Okay, because we haven't prepared this.
No, you don't. So yes, this is not prepared. But what do you broadly set the challenge?
Yeah, I think the challenge is that the sport of mixed martial arts, which I think most people know as cage fighting or ultimate fighting, which is broadly speaking, because the rules are changed by country. Hello.
Did you pick that up? If you can hear that, that's why Ivan Kennedy pitching to the Guardian next door.
You hear crying. What was I saying? Yeah, broadly speaking. So, two guys in a ring or a cage with a referee, and you know, you can pretty much punch, kick, submit one another. So, arm lock, leg lock, choke, blah, blah, blah. Guy who does that first wins. If not, goes to points and the ref stops it. I guess the challenge is that the perception of this country and America in particular is extremely negative. So there's a huge amount of negative PR if any of these shows ever come to a city in London. So there was an incident recently where they did hold a show in Manchester.
Right.
And there was sort of public outcry why the council had sanctioned such a thing, et cetera, et cetera. People saying this should be banned, it's like cockfighting, it's taking us backwards, it's retrograde. Whereas I would argue that it's probably one of the greatest sports in the world. You know, it derives from the original Olympic sport, which is Greco-Roman wrestling. I also think, you know, it had a rich heritage, but it also is a kind of an intellectual endeavour from one point of view, because it's like chess. You know, there's so many different things that can happen. So, I mean, broadly speaking, I think it's good and it's exciting and isn't something that, you know, we should be ashamed of liking.
Right.
And I think there's a misunderstanding in, I don't know if it's in people at large or certainly in people who make decisions about whether these things get shown on TV and how they get covered in the newspaper. I guess there's a challenge in how you address that. The biggest challenge of all probably will come within the sport, because I think some people realise that if you sell this as people getting their heads smashed in, that sort of attracts a certain element.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, I want to see someone get their head smashed in.
Right.
So that's kind of like two issues.
If they intellectualise it too much or critify it too much, they might lose a core audience.
Yeah, because it's one of the great debates is, for instance, in one competition in America, the cage version, the UFC, you can elbow an opponent without, not the point of your elbow, you can sort of, this the forearm, you can forearm an opponent, but you can't kick him if he's what's called a downed opponent, so he's got his knee down on the mat at any point, you can't kick him in the head. In Japan, you can't elbow your opponent, but you can kick him in the head, so you can sort of soccer kick the guy in the head. I don't think you necessarily want to prettify the sport,
right.
But it's much more the sort of how people perceive it, I suppose, and
right.
what you're watching.
Is there a Michael Jordan?
Yeah, there's a few. Because, you know, each show kind of builds up their own man.
Right.
He's more of a kind of Terminator than Michael Jordan. The guy called Fedor,
right.
Who's a Russian chap, who basically can do it all and is kind of clearing a house in the Japanese Pride show. I think he's injured at the moment. I mean, the other great thing about it, the other challenge is to grow the sport without killing it. So I grew up, you know, I saw my first cage thing in 1993, so 13 years ago.
How did you see it?
I was staying around, sorry, I didn't see it in 93, it was from 93, I think it was around 94. How old would I have been? 20. No, probably 93. We were in, a friend of mine was at Cardiff University, and their local video shop just stopped out weird videos and sort of things like cage fighting. Cool. And a Brazilian guy called Royce Gracie, tapped everyone out without hitting them, basically. He just,
right.
You know, there were no weight categories, bare knuckles, referee couldn't stop it. So there was a guy getting his tooth smashed. It was pretty brutal stuff.
Right.
So I started training and actually trained a bit with a guy who went to train with Royce and Royce himself a few times. What was I saying? You're supposed to be listening to me. Play the tape back.
I thought you were going to remember what you were saying.
It's embarrassing. Been punched in the head too many times, you see. Bad, ban it.
So you were talking about how you got to see it.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we got to that.
Oh, sorry, that's the point I was making. is that, so I grew up finding it almost impossible to get hold of a copy of a tape. So the latest show came out. It was an incredible little underground movement. And basically, we all knew each other in the country. In England, you knew who was interested in this because it was probably about 20 of you. And then there was 50 of you, and then there was 100 of you. But to get a video, you know, you had to know somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody in Elephant and Castle who could take you down to the back of a market and someone would have a little copy sort of 10 months after the show. And that was great. There was this kind of excitement. And then when the first shows came over here, it was, you know, in Bethnal Green Town Hall. And it was brutal and it was full of criminals and gangsters and stuff. But that was sort of part of a danger of it. So there's a kind of underground movement. And, you know, there was a lot of debate around whether karate was better than boxing, better than jiu-jitsu, better than judo. And all these unanswered, almost philosophical debates. Is ground fighting better than standing up fighting? They've all been resolved a little bit now. Yeah, because now everyone says, well, MMA is a style. You train a bit of everything that works. And that's it. You have to be able to wrestle, you have to know jiu-jitsu, you've got to be able to box and some other stuff, and you probably specialise a little bit in one. But basically, you go in there not knowing one of them, you're in trouble. So a lot of the debate and the kind of curiosity that gave it kind of a foundation is gone. But I think you need to try and maintain the people who are interested in it when it began.
But if the challenge is there's a challenge about making it more mainstream, presumably there's also a risk.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. Okay. Well, that's cool. So, are there? What if people wanted to find out more about it? Are there websites? You
yeah. I think probably the easiest thing to do is by mail you a list of posts. But it's one of the areas where I really started getting into forums, because there's tons of discussion forums, which inevitably lead to "I want to fight you" because of the nature of the support, which is quite entertaining, and quite often will actually lead to fights.
Right.
So one of the original ways that issues were dealt with were what they call kind of underground matches, where or challenge matches, where they'd literally be two guys in a club deciding whatever rules and dealing with it. And I think that still happens. Learn much less so than it used to, and now these guys are athletes. And the top guys in Russia, in Japan and America would be earning big money. There's a number of forums, discussion forums and notice boards where you can catch up with articles on and little resources and video, and you type MMA into YouTube and you'll get beautifully put together little highlight video of all the best guys and that kind of stuff. I think that's one of the choices that people have to make in making this popular is, do people want to see people get knocked out?
Right.
So it's boring if they're not getting knocked out. Uh-huh. Or do you educate? So in Japan, it's a kind of educative approach where they know. So when it goes to the ground, they cheer because they know there's going to be some technical ground fighting. Whereas in America, they kind of go, I want to see them stand up and wail on each other. And that's probably the two choices you have. Do you try and educate people about why it's exciting to watch somebody try and apply an arm lock and then go to a neck choke and then go to this bin, or do you just sort of try and make it about blood and people getting knocked out?
Why do you think there's that difference? Is that because of just Japanese awareness of martial arts?
Yeah, I think probably it is. There's probably more to it than that, but also the appeal of the sport. So if you start an organisation or a contest in Japan, it's surrounded by heritage, the martial arts heritage. We do in Japan, in America, it's surrounded by underground boxing matches, and so it attracted those types of people, that type of audience initially. So they're probably more inclined to give the audience what they thought they wanted to see. It also has a lot of roots in Brazil. So originally, Vale Tudo, which is another name for, which means, I believe, no rules or no free something, or essentially, anything goes in Portuguese. They too will sort of be a kind of combination of the two. So the Brazilians like the technical side, they also like the blood. So I think their contests and their promotions now tend to have a lot less rules than, say, we would in this country.
Right. So what would be, I'm just trying to think what would be a good way of trying to brief. I wonder is there a world championship?
No.
Then maybe we should imagine a world championship and how that would work and how you promote it.
Yeah. I think there's, the problem that sort of assumes.
You say yeah and no in a kind of way, perhaps.
Well, I think it's a good thing, but does that address the issue of whether people would want to, who'd want to see that World Championship?
Right.
I mean, there's something about at the moment, my dad doesn't want to watch this, but he might show some interest periodically.
Does he watch boxing?
Yeah, he's quite a big, my dad's from Irish and we've got quite a bit of charity of boxers. Always followed on ITV boxing, but I think it's probably that thing that you got brought up with a fighter and a personality, so he's less interested now.
Right.
So, but I think maybe if you do something for a world championship, you lose that popularising, you know, new audience thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we can think about that afterwards.
Yeah.
As to
how do you make my dad want to?
Well, that might be it. I mean, and maybe actually the thing we could ask, we should also ask people to think about what would be.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things.
I'd be interested to see what everyone thinks. So, yeah. Like, you know, the people who read your blog,
yeah.
What do they think? So what do you think about it?
I must admit, I'm naturally wimpy and squeamish. But I'm a huge comics fan. I like the idea of fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it is just very primal and kind of. And I hate the movie version of fighting because it always seems so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so false.
Yeah.
You know, with the sound effects of people flying across the room. So, when I flip past, I'm kind of. I pause longer than I'm. But I don't really watch.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's slightly funny. Scares me.
It's funny because my wife has zero interest in boxing, blood sports, but because she's been brought up with, when I came home, I've got this video and I've been waiting months to get it, and it's rare and it's, you know, precious. I can put it on, prepare a day of watching it. And she started to understand who the people were and why this style was better than this and what she was watching. And I think when you understand what you're watching, it makes a big difference.
I think the purity of it is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Just because I have a huge problem with this, with subjective sports.
Yeah.
You know, with like gymnastics and where there's not an obvious winner.
Yeah.
You know, and this feels like one of those things. I mean, I suppose there is judging, but you know.
Well, originally, you see, there was no time limit.
Yeah.
So just go until somebody won. But then there's an obvious reason why that doesn't suit the pay-per-view channels.
Mm.
So on one of the original pay-per-view channels, they just ran out of time. So most people didn't see the end of this really exciting fight. So you kind of got the purists saying, you know, it should be bare knuckle. But there's always rules. You put someone in a cage, that's a rule.
Yeah.
You can't leave the cage, you know, so...
Would it be to the novice, as it were, would it be as difficult to understand the nuances as like fencing?
Oh, it's way simpler.
Right.
Because of the reasons you said, I think. Most of the time, even if you're standing up or lying down, it's obvious what the guy's doing if he's throwing punches at his face. And then there's just some slightly more technical stuff in there.
Right.
I think there's one, this isn't probably anything to do with the brief, but there's one other reason why I think it's important is that you touched on a little bit about this movie fighting thing. I think that becomes more important when you look at the kind of McDojo thing in America, these guys who set up, you know, Steve Walmer's self-defense studio, come in here and learn how to fight. And, you know, those guys are taking money off people and making them less safe because they don't know how to fight.
Right.
These guys don't train in a way that's conducive to a real situation. So I spent many years doing martial arts where the guy would say, you know, do this. You go, but what if he just punches me there? That's not what we're drilling. But do this. Whereas these guys, you know, in an MMA gym, they just go, well, put gloves on it, try it. If it doesn't work, you know, find the bit that does work, find out why it doesn't work.
Right.
So you've got a lot of people walking around the world who think that there's secrets and that there's... actually, some of this is quite useful. I think the other great thing about it is, one, there's a truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just works or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you resolve that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is this paradoxical sense of egalitarianism. So, of course, there's always somebody who's going to beat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But you can walk into an MMA gym and and there can be a lawyer, a doctor, a criminal, you know, a bank robber, or some nasty bit of work in the corner. But because everybody knows, when you walk through the door, you know that this is real deal. So you can't walk in with any kind of pretension because you'll probably get hurt. Therefore, everyone treats each other amazingly well because they have this thing in common. Because again, it's rare underground, people tend to frown a little bit on it. You get a sense of togetherness. So you get women training there, and there's no machismo, no... I mean, very occasionally, yeah, but on the whole, no. It's a bit like that thing I was talking about, snobbishness in running. I sort of hated myself a bit for that because it's the antithesis of what MMA is about. Somebody will always help you because you want to all learn, because if you're fighting people who are getting better, it makes you better. When you don't get out running, you want to beat the guys. You want them to be as slow as possible. You want to run them down and be, there's some forced snobbery. So I love that about it as well. And that's the side of the sport almost. That's another route that people could take, I suppose, in popularising it, is saying, but on the positive side, it's great for all these things, for getting kids off the street, for teaching people self-defence, for building a sense of self-worth in a group.
Cool, all right. Well, let's stop that there. We'll devise a weekly mail. Devise a brief.
I'd be interested. It was funny, it was literally 2 nights ago. I was helping, someone was formulating a statement for some council or something. They just sent it to me and said, look, we're just doing this. Sent it to a load of people and said, what do you think? And it was brilliant, actually. Kind of, defense of the sport, if you like. And I thought, this is a perfect brief for your thing. But then I couldn't get it sort of short.
I also, just sitting here, the sports marketer in me, you're just kind of going, yes, the sport, obviously, but also you just think if you create an effective brand, the replica sales, for want of a better word, of something like that, which have that authenticity and hint of danger and stuff, those t-shirts would fly off the shelf.
Did
it right.
Every guy in this club.
Compared to Lonsdale or something,
this guy, you go down the club, it's brand driven. So there is everyone wears probably three brands. Everyone wears t-shirts. So where I train, called London Shoot Fighters, which is probably the best. I'm going to interview the guy actually probably tomorrow or the next day. Cool guy. Everyone wears the t-shirts, the hoodies, stuff, because it's, and they don't do any marketing ever. Idea they come out, put something in the paper. If you say that to these guys, they just laugh at you. They go, why would we do that? We just beat people up. Well, that's our brand. But they've got a logo. Talking about stuff, brands can just be stuff, logos that people put on stuff. That's probably what most people see as, but it just comes with all these associations. I said something else then.
How often do you drink?
Well, I'm getting a bit older now, so I used to be, I went through a phase of 5 times a week. I'm probably in once or twice a week, I'm struggling to get down there. And the problem, it's a full-time club now, so these guys run every day, all day. There's a cage, boxing room, just mats, wrestling mats. They've got guys training for boxing matches, so specific wrestling, MMA, loads of different variations of it. And everyone's getting better really quickly, so it's quite hard to maintain a level. In this environment, I might look tough, but in that environment, I'm like posh Paul in the corner. he's all right. He's been doing it a while, but the idea, they would laugh if you went, it's quite tough. He's dogged, maybe, but I don't fight in the cage. I'll spar a bit, but I got into it through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is kind of the ground bit. And then I started wrestling as well and done bits of boxing, so striking. So if somebody knows nothing, I'll be all right. But if the guy's a boxer, then I want to be on the ground with him. So it's kind of complicated, though.
Probably harder than most people in marketing.
I like to think so. It also smashes your ears up, which is not good.
Yeah. So actually, the traditional popularisation route is get to be an Olympic sport. Has there ever been would people just laugh at the idea of it being?
No, because my history, Wikipedia actually has a good section on it. But it's called Pancrase, which is basically, I think, another version of anything goes, was, and right. I'm pretty sure an Olympic, or certainly some sort of Roman sport of some kind.
Right. Where it was Greco-Roman
style? I don't know if it's going to be in the next one. They're talking about taking Greco out and leaving freestyle. So Greco, you can't attack the legs, right. So it's all hip throws, but similar to judo throws, whereas freestyle, you can attack the legs.
Right. I suppose the other big popularisation would be to make it American college sport.
Yeah, it's becoming. What's one? I mean, I'm using YouTube as my knowledge here.
But I think YouTube is the world's encyclopedia. Forget that.
Yeah, it's a window. It's a window on the world. Yeah, it really is. You see now kids mucking around. Obviously, I'm searching for fight or brawl or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But just mucking around with each other. They're all doing UFC moves now because. Right. Why would you copy wrestling? When I was a kid, kids copy wrestling moves and do silly, like pick each other up and dump each other on the ground. But now they're going, well, I know that's theatre and I know that's pantomime, whereas I know this is real, so I'm going to look tough if I know how to do an armbar or something.
Right.
Plus, they probably all wrestle a bit in school anyway. Because wrestling, if you can wrestle, you can add, I mean, wrestle properly, you can add very few things to make yourself a nightmare in a fight. Because it's quite easy to stop the guy hitting you, and it's quite easy to get him away from you when you can wrestle. And it's called what they call balance base, so just kind of your balance. Wrestling just teaches you that, you know, in spades. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brilliant. That's great.